You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
At ProperSoap.com, we're called Proper because we're properly pure and natural, with no parabens, dyes, or harsh chemicals. 100% pure vegetable soap. We use rich shea butter and olive oil to moisturize naturally. And best of all, we think it's proper to give back. So when you shop ProperSoap.com, you're funding clean water and sanitation programs in villages across the globe. Shop ProperSoap.com and get proper.
While many Iranians celebrated the tentative nuclear deal between Washington and Tehran, it was a time of heartbreak for the wife of one of the Americans being held there. USA's John Clemens reports.
Negma Abedini, the wife of American pastor Saeed, was deeply disappointed that the deal with Iran did not include the release of her husband, who's been held in jail in Tehran for almost 3 years. She said she was heartbroken.
Well, I was heartbroken because I've been watching the news like everyone else, checking every hour to see the result of the deal. And I was hoping that if a deal was reached, that somehow my husband's release would be secured. Now, I know that our government had said that they had brought up Saeed's case on the sidelines. I had hoped even on the sidelines they would have secured Saeed's release.
President Obama had told the Abedini family face-to-face that he considered the release of Pastor Saeed a top priority. I'm John Clemens.
This is USA Headline News.
All set. How was your visit with the dentist? Shall we book another appointment then? Wonderful. I'll sign you up for our root canal rewards. 10th one's free.
Big lunch?
You're drooling on my papers.
That's lovely.
How about a rewards program you'll actually use every day? Introducing Plenty. Earn points at lots of places, including AT&T, Exxon, Macy's, Mobil, Nationwide, and Rite Aid. There's plenty together. Learn more at plentywithani.com. Terms and conditions apply.
The family of a black man killed by a white police officer insists New York City can't buy justice. AP correspondent Warren Levinson reports.
Accepting a nearly $6 million settlement from the city is no cause for celebration, says Gwen Carr. She says there won't be any reason for celebrating until the police officers who killed her son, Eric Garner, last year are held criminally liable.
11 times he said he couldn't breathe, and they chose not to indict. Where is the justice?
Garner's case became part of the roll call of black men abused by police nationwide. Demonstrations are still planned for the weekend to urge the Justice Department to bring a civil rights case, which is seen as a legal long shot. Warren Levinson, New York.
Presidential candidate Scott Walker is on the campaign trail and is finding support among South Carolina Republicans for his pledge to scrap the nuclear deal that the Obama administration has negotiated with Iran. He is promising crippling economic sanctions instead. Walker visited a Charleston-area Harley-Davidson dealership during a full day in the state, which hosts the South's first 2016 presidential primary. The two-man team trying to fly a solar-powered plane around the world is suspending the journey in Hawaii after the plane sustained battery damage during its flight to the islands. The Solar Impulse team says it will continue the around-the-world attempt, but irreversible damage caused by overheating batteries has grounded the flight until at least April 2016. For more news, go to usaheadlinenews.com. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
And good afternoon, and welcome to another edition of Modern Design 2, Design Dilemmas. The show Design Dilemmas is a little bit different than our morning show. This show is all about interaction. Our phone lines are open. If you'd like to talk to us, you can call us at 908-237-0410, 908-237-0410. Okay, we're going to take a commercial message, and we'll be right back with Modern Design.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Pat and Heidi and Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Pat and Heidi and Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
And welcome back to Modern Design 2 Design Dilemmas. My name is Rich Scuderi. And as I said at the top of the hour, our show is called Design Dilemmas. It's a little different than our morning design show. This is all about being interactive. There are several ways that you can contact me during the hour. It's now 2:07 and our phone lines are open. Once again, the phone lines to call into Modern Design. Design Dilemmas is 908-237-0410, 908-237-0410. If you'd like to text me with your questions, that's 908-884-0770, 908-884-0770. And if you'd like to email me, it's Cajun Maven, C-A-J-U-N-M-A-V-I-N at AOL.com. Let's do that again, C-A-J-U-N-M-A-V-I-N at AOL.com. What we do is we pull from social media, we pull from Twitter, we pull from Facebook, and we go out to you, the public, and find out what you're thinking, what your design dilemmas are, what you're working on, your kitchens, your bathrooms, your offices, making your spaces better, and then passing that information along to you, our listeners here on 100 in Chamber Radio. Okay, I'm going ahead and starting with some calls that I had gotten during the week with some information, and some of them have attachments, and we'll talk about that on the air. And the first one that I got was a text, and this came from Michael B. in Long Valley, New Jersey. And he writes, I am 6'2", how high should I hang my artwork? Well, this is a question that comes up probably on every job I've ever had since I've started. And there is no clear-cut answer to how high you should hang your artwork. There are a couple parameters, though, or things that you might want to consider. One is your own physical height, and if you happen to be 6'2", and your wife happens to be 4'8", you might have a problem there. Artists will tell you to hang a painting at eye level. So keeping that in perspective, probably the best thing to do is find a happy medium between the heights of the people who are viewing, for the most part, the pictures, and hang them at eye level. That being said, you also want to keep in account the ceilings of the room. In previous years, ceilings were typically 8 foot, then 9 foot. Now sky's the limit. So if you have a very high ceilings and you hang your paintings very low, it is going to look odd. So that's a factor. But the biggest mistake, I think, is that most people hang their art actually too high, so it's up in the air and you can't appreciate the artwork. I would say when you go to hang the art, find a level that you feel both comfortable with and then settle on that. If you can both see it, if you will, and appreciate it, and it's not hanging in the air, that's your best bet. Okay, so I hope that was helpful to you. My second question came to me through social media this week, and this comes from Mary Jane P., and she's in Fords, New Jersey, and she said, should I consider doing my ceilings in colors? Okay, I've talked about this before, about colored ceilings, and I have just a general rule. I mean, there's not a hard and set rule on what to do with ceilings, but here's my view on it. I like continuity in a house, and that is when you come into a house, I like the floors for the most part to be all the same. So if you have hardwood floors, I like to see the same hardwood floors throughout for the most part. If you have trim in your house, baseboard molding, I like to see the baseboard molding to be the same size throughout. If you have crown molding in the house, I like to see them being the same size throughout. You have white toilets, same type of thing, vanity sinks. Continuity gives its house, its architecture, its style, a sense of purpose. When you start breaking that up, then it becomes disjointed and a house can look very cluttered. That's the same way I feel about colored ceilings. I typically like ceiling white ceilings. That is white formulated paint that's been designed for ceilings. It hides shadows and imperfections, and it's a very flat finish. You'd never use that on a wall because it would be burnished and it would get dirty very easily. But it's a specially formulated paint for ceilings that's very dull, it hides shadows, and it's perfect for ceiling paint. And I like ceilings to follow from room to room and be the same color. The exception to that rule is when you have some sort of an architectural element in a ceiling. One is a tray ceiling, when you have that sort of indentation and there's molding and you have the opportunity to bring in some other color. Then yes, in that case, I do like to add color. The second place I like to add color is if you have a porch or patio area and you decide to do some beadboard in it, then if you paint that out of color, that's quite nice and a good thing to do to a ceiling. And finally, if you have a cathedral ceiling, if you have something with beams, something that's special, something that's separate, something that, like a great room, and in that case, I would add some color to the ceilings. But for the most part, from room to room, I really like crisp white ceilings with ceiling white paint, flat finish, and hides shadows. I think that's probably your best bet when working on ceiling surfaces. So, Mary Jane, I wish you well with that. Our third question comes from Linda R., and she's in Phillipsburg, New Jersey. And she writes to me, what kind of mirrors should I use over my bathroom vanity? Also a very good question, Linda. A couple things have changed through the years and that I've seen change and evolve, and I'll discuss all of them and some options for you because I do a lot of renovations of homes to get them ready for sale and to update them. Things like changing your mirrors, changing your vanities, those are all things that I do pretty much on a regular basis. In years past, when builders would build a house, they would put a sheet mirror and glue it right to the wall. It would be very large, and then it would back up to a vanity, either a single sink vanity or a double sink vanity. And that's what people lived with. It usually had what's called a Broadway light above it that was on a rack, if you will, or a rail, if you will, and it would be these bulbs and so on. And that was industry standard, and that's what people got used to. As things began to get more sophisticated, then people wanted frames on those mirrors. So then the second evolution of that is that builders would give you a framed large mirror, or they would give you that same sheet mirror, and then people would come to me to put a frame around it, and we would take stock lumber and stain it or paint it out, and we would frame that one piece of flat mirror with a frame so it would look a little bit more sophisticated and finished. Then a new evolution came in where things became a little bit more sophisticated. The Broadway bulbs went out, and we had lights that extended out from the wall a little bit and brought natural light down on your face instead of flat against the wall. And people wanted individual mirrors. So if you had one sink, you would have one smaller framed mirror that was a separate mirror, not glued to the wall. Or if you had a double vanity, as in a master bath, you'd have two separate framed mirrors. You would take off that builder's grade mirror that was glued, and you'd do two individual. So if you were looking to update your house and do what's current, the current correct use of mirrors with a vanity would be to get freestanding mirrors that are framed that fit within the space underneath a light fixture for each sink, and then do a framed separate mirror in each space over each sink. So that was quite specific, but I hope that was helpful to you in doing yours. Okay. The next question comes to me from Maplewood. It's Matt C. in Maplewood, New Jersey. And he writes, should I use knobs or pulls on my cabinet doors? Well, that's also a very good question. Hardware has become more and more of a fashion statement when it comes to cabinets. And I've seen a variety of hardware on standard doors. I do like pulls, and that's kind of where you pull out. I also like knobs. I think knobs can be very attractive as well. I think it's a matter of personal taste of which you like better. I have seen cabinets where they don't have any hardware on them, where you can just push on them. I'm not a big fan of that because you definitely see fingerprints in houses I go into that have that. They're very unhappy over time. So I think you could use actually a combination of knobs and pulls. Use the same material if you're going to use brass, if you're going to use nickel, if you're going to use oil rub bronze. Make sure the same finish, but you could use a combination of knobs and pulls. Maybe knobs on the doors and pulls on the drawers, and that might look nice together. Okay, we're at 2:15. We're going to take our first set of commercials, and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design.
Unionville Vineyards is the perfect destination for wine tastings and tours, corporate events, birthday parties, or your special day. Located in East Amwell, New Jersey, Unionville Vineyards offers an escape from the rush of daily life and a chance to relax in the beautiful countryside. Our tasting room is open 7 days a week, 12 to 5 p.m., excluding major holidays. For more information, contact us at unionvillevineyards.com or call us at 908-788-0400.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
This is Megan Jones Holt, the radio host of the Rotary Hour and president of Boxes for You. Why am I a member of the Chamber of Commerce? It can be summed up in one word: opportunities. Opportunities to market your business and yourself.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we are back with Modern Design 2, Design Dilemmas. Our show is all about interaction. It's connecting with you out there with our open phone lines. It's now 217. And if you'd like to call into the show today, the phone number is 908-237-0410, 908-237-0410. If you'd like to text me your questions, please include the pictures with your text as an attachment. It's much easier for me to answer your questions if I have a picture. And that's 908-884-0770, 908-884-0770. And if you're shy and just want to email me, you can do that as well. That's CajunMaven@AOL.com, CajunMaven@AOL.com. A little bit about myself, if you're just tuning in for the first time to Design Dilemmas. I'm an interior designer for the past 18 years in New Jersey. I go all over the state. I do everything from simple color consultations and basic painting to building additions, revisions, kitchens. I do a lot of kitchens currently. I have 2 kitchens in demo status because we're putting in brand new kitchens. Bathrooms, do a lot of bathroom renovations and staging. If you're looking to get your house ready for sale, I'm your guy. I have a great crew, licensed, bonded, and insured, that can get that done for you. The number of Maven Hill Designs is 908-832-7050, 908-832-7050, if you'd like to call for an appointment and scheduling. A couple other things about me is that I'm going to be having some appearances. And if you'd like to come out and meet me and ask me your design questions, we are going to be doing something at my store right in Flemington, 1 U.S. Highway 31, Flemington, New Jersey. On July 30th, we're going to have a ribbon cutting from the chamber, and we're going to also have a question and answer session on design. If you have any questions, want to come out and meet me, please. There will be some refreshments. That's on July 30th at 5 o'clock p.m., we'll have a little reception and a ribbon cutting and question and answers. That's 908-884-0770, and we can give you the details on that as well. Okay, again, our phone lines are open if you'd like to call in. I have quite a bit of material here during the week. People have emailed me and pulled questions to me from social media. So I'll move along. I think our last question was from Matt in Maplewood. My next question came to me during the week also from social media. And this came from, looks like Doug from North Brunswick, New Jersey. And Doug wrote, do I need to paint my bathroom walls in an eggshell finish or semi-gloss to prevent mold issues? What do you think? Very good question. I think in years past, people were under the impression that the shinier your bathroom walls are, the more protected you were. Well, the shinier the bathroom walls are, the uglier the bathroom walls are. And we don't want to make our home look like it's a gas station. So I would say, no, you don't need to do that. I think formulations of paints have gotten a lot better and a lot sturdier, if I could say nothing else, that they're a lot better. What I typically recommend to my clients in their bathrooms is what I recommend in their house. all along. I like your trim and molding to be in semi-gloss, so that has a lot of protection. And I like the walls in a bathroom to be regal matte finish. So it's not flat, it's matte. So that means that it has a flat appearance, if you will, but it is washable. And that's what I would recommend for bathrooms. You'll find it much richer, and it definitely certainly hides imperfections in the walls. The more sheen you get, the more highlight you get of imperfections. And almost all houses have some sort of imperfections in the sheetrock, and that's really going to come out when you paint in a finish that's very shiny. Another suggestion I've been giving my clients lately is the use of beadboard and molding in bathrooms, especially below the chair rail. And I'll tell you why. Many people, if you have guests in your house, adults even, when they go to wash their hands, they're in your powder room, they go ahead and they wash their hands, and then when they go to rinse their hands, water gets all over your sheetrock, and those water beads stain, and over time you'll see that area becomes a mess. So what I recommend people do is put a chair rail in a powder room, and below the chair rail do some sort of a wainscoting or a raised molding, and that can be done in semi-gloss and be treated as trim, very easy to clean up, very easy to take care of. And then above that, you can paint or put wallpaper, and then you have your protection. So that was kind of twofold on that. It does seem to be a problem in bathrooms consistently, powder rooms as well as the upstairs bathrooms. But that's a way to prevent prevent it and still keep the bathroom from looking that it's like it's an institutionalized bathroom. Okay, my next question comes to me. This was a email that I received during the week, and this is from Lisa. Doesn't give me a last name, and she's from Princeton Junction, New Jersey. And Lisa writes, should my wood molding be a painted color, or does it have to be white? Okay, well, that's a good question. I think there's a lot within that. I don't know if I'm reading that correctly, but basically what you're saying is it seems like that you have stained wood moldings or moldings that are actually actual wood and not press board, and that they're stained, and should it be white or should it be a color if you go to paint? You know, that's a matter of preference. All I do, to tell you the truth, is when I go to homes that have trim that's colored, whether it be blue or black or whatever the color of the trim was, I always wind up painting the trim white. I'm a big proponent of having your sheetrock be colored and having your trim be white, not even linen white. I really like white, and I like that because when your trim is white semi-gloss, it makes the color pop and stand out. And when you carry that white trim throughout the house, there's a continuity. It makes the rooms look bigger, that makes them look fresh, and it makes it look consistent. So, in fact, almost in all cases, I prefer painted trim over stained trim, even if the wood is a quality wood. I feel that stained trim makes a house look very dark. The one exception might be is if you have a Tudor-style house, where it's really an integral part of the look, or a lodge style house. But for 90% of the homes I go into, when I change the trim from stained to nice crisp white paint, it's amazing. It makes the house look much newer, and the amount of light that comes off of it is amazing. So my answer to you, Lisa, is twofold. One is I do believe that paint looks better than stain. If I had wood, original wood trim that was stained, I would change it to paint. And yes, I would pick white. I would not pick a specific color. I wouldn't go gray or blue or coordinate with that room. It looks very disconjointed. So I would stick with white throughout, semi-gloss, and I think you'll be very happy with it. And then give us a call back. Send me another text or a picture and let us know how some of these things work out for you. And that goes to all the people on social media, or call in. Follow up with us. Call back and let us know how the outcome came. If I made a mistake, let me know. I'll correct it on the air, or give me some kudos if I do a good job for you. All right. My next question comes to me from Larry B. And Larry B. is in Keensburg, New Jersey, down the shore. Lucky. And he writes to me, my garage is sheetrocked. It's never been painted. Should I finish paint my garage? Very good question. A lot of you will move into new construction houses or even resale houses, and they've gone the extra step, and the garage is actually sheetrocked and taped, but usually left that way and not finished. That was the case in my house that I purchased, and I decided that, you know what, I spend a lot of time in the garage. It's what I see when I leave in the morning. It's when I come home at night. I'd love to see it finished paint, and I don't want it to be white. So I did go out. You don't necessarily have to even buy the same quality of paint. I went out and first of all, I spackled so that the tape lines didn't show, and it was ready for paint, primed it white. And then I went out and picked a really nice color called Pewter. It's a Benjamin Moore color. It's sort of a gray color, like a rich blue-gray color, and painted out. I painted my ceiling white and the trim white semi-gloss. And let me tell you something, that looks really, really good when you paint out your garage. Would I paint it a crazy color? Would I paint it a very personalized color? Probably not good for resale value. But painting the garage gray, the floor is a lighter gray tone, darker gray on the walls and white trim, it looks beautiful. And I can't say it looks clean anymore because I've become a clutter bug. But painting out your garage walls is something that I do very often. And I choose white. I don't know why so many people choose white for a garage. White gets dirty so fast. Don't pick a light color for your garage. Pick a darker color for your garage because it will get dirty inevitably just from being closer to being outside and dust and rakes and leaves and all that kind of stuff. Pick a medium to dark color with white trim and white ceilings and paint out your garage. It's going to make you feel good. It's going to make you, when the garage door goes up and it's nice and clean, people say, "Ooh, you have a nice garage." And, you know, it's only as much as a gallon of paint is going to cost you. So I would say wholeheartedly go ahead with that and paint out your garage. Another thing I want to talk to you about garage is what I've been doing a lot too. As I said earlier, I'm doing and gutting two kitchens right now. And I really have a problem when you do a kitchen or a bathroom over and then throwing all that stuff into a dumpster and ultimately in a landfill. I always like to repurpose things if I can. And here's a good suggestion for you. In the kitchens that I'm working on right now, I had suggested to homeowners that we take the old cabinets out and keep them in good condition, keep them intact, paint them white, and then use them in the garage for storage. So instead of having stuff all over the place, you can store them in. You can store things, tools and cleaning supplies and old paint cans behind closed storage. And once you take your cabinets, whether it be oak or whatever they are, as long as they're not in terrible shape, instead of putting them in cluttering earth in a landfill, go ahead and mount them to the wall and put them in your garage. Great way to keep you organized, great way to minimize clutter. And then when you get your new cabinets are set to go and you have storage, it costs you nothing, and we keep the earth a little cleaner. So that's another nice thing that you can do as far as keeping your garage in good shape. Paint those cabinets nice, bright white, make it match the trim, and you'll absolutely love the outcome of your garage renovations. I find that I don't talk enough about garages. People have their biggest complaints about garages. It seems to become a catch-all for everybody by the seasons, and before you know it, you have a mess on your hands. So I think garage coordination and organization is key. And I say every season you should take a look at your garage, go out there and look, survey the damage and see what you can get rid of. That's probably one of the biggest catch-alls in a home, is if you're fortunate enough to have a garage, what we wind up doing is stockpiling everything in it. Be able to move around your garage. Make sure that it's not an obstacle for you, because that's certainly clutter in your house means that there's clutter in your life. Okay, well, it's about 2:29, and we're about to go to our news break, and we'll be back shortly with more of Modern Design.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Israel's prime minister is telling his parliament that they aren't bound by the nuclear deal involving Iran and the United States, and that Israel will continue to oppose it.
The international community is removing the sanctions, and Iran is keeping its nuclear program.
Meanwhile, a senior leader from Yemen's Shiite rebels has sent a cable to Iran praising the deal as a historic achievement. And members of Congress are speaking out against the deal.
Over the next 60 days. We're going to go through this in great detail. We're going to have a thoughtful and deliberate process. My guess is, based on timing, we'll have hearings that will be in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
That was Tennessee Senator Bob Corker, who is also on the Foreign Relations Committee. And some Democrats are skeptical. Vice President Joe Biden met on Capitol Hill with House Democrats this morning to brief them. This is USA Headline News.
Ovation's Health Therapy is the best treatment for dry, brittle, damaged hair caused by harsh chemicals, heat styling, and age-related issues. With extra conditioners, proteins, amino acids, vitamins, and extracts. All the essential nutrients your hair needs to reduce breakage and increase length retention. Cell therapy by Ovation is proven to substantially reduce breakage, helping restore your natural beauty and shine.
And in a recent customer survey, over 90% of respondents would recommend Ovation hair care products to a friend. They wouldn't do that unless Ovation really worked. And it does. Guaranteed.
I always recommend Ovation to my friends and coworkers. My hair is so much healthier since I started using it. I won't ever stop. Thanks, Ovation.
To prove it, Ovation will pay your shipping cost. Free shipping is for July orders only. So hurry and stock up now.
Visit OvationHair.com today and don't miss July free shipping. Remember to select this station at checkout for your special introductory discount. Plus, July free shipping. OvationHair.com.
More than half of the Central Committee of Greece's governing left-wing party has signed a statement slamming the agreement Greece reached with its European creditors. Greece's parliament is expected to vote later today on the austerity bill required to get a new bailout package. Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras says he doesn't like the agreement, but other options were unpleasant.
Within circumstances of blackmail and suffocation, we had two alternatives on the table. First, the agreement with specific prerequisites, or go bankrupt, that is, leave the eurozone.
He spoke through an interpreter. Meanwhile, banks in Greece remain closed. Federal Reserve Chair Janet Yellen sees a number of encouraging signs that the economy is reviving after a brutal winter. And in her mid-year economic outlook delivered to Congress, she says if the improvements stay on track, the Fed will likely start raising interest rates later this year. President Obama is announcing an internet program that would bring faster service to more people. It is underway in 27 cities so that low-income households can get internet at home. This is USA Headline News.
Everyone knows the proper way to start your day is with a long, hot, luxurious shower. That's why we've created PropersOap.com. We're called Proper because we're properly pure and natural, with no parabens, dyes, or harsh chemicals. 100% pure vegetable soap. We use rich shea butter and olive oil to moisturize naturally. And best of all, we think it's proper to give back. So when you shop PropersOap.com, you're funding clean water and sanitation programs in villages across the globe. Shop PropersOap.com and get proper.
For the second time in 6 months, Nuggets guard Ty Lawson has been arrested for driving under the influence. Correspondent Bruce Morton reports.
Tuesday morning, Lawson was arrested on suspicion of driving under the influence in Los Angeles. This comes on the heels of a January DUI arrest in Denver. Conditions of his bond from that bust included no consumption of alcohol. He's been the subject of trade speculation since the end of last season, and while Lawson may have been third in the NBA in assists in 2014-15, finding a team that wants him just became more difficult. By way of an official statement, the Nuggets would only say they're aware of the situation. Bruce Morton, Denver.
Jurors have begun deliberating in the trial of Colorado theater shooter James Holmes. The panel of 9 women and 3 men started discussing whether Holmes was legally insane when he killed 12 people during a crowded midnight movie premiere 3 years ago. His attorneys say he was in the grips of a psychotic breakdown and couldn't tell right from wrong. Prosecutors say Holmes was legally sane when he methodically planned and carried out the attack. If jurors find Holmes was legally insane, he'll be committed to a mental hospital indefinitely. Prosecutors are seeking the death penalty. Iraq's government has announced tomorrow will be an official holiday due to a scorching heat wave. Temperatures have already topped 122 degrees Fahrenheit in some provinces. And some Iraqis do not have electricity. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
And we are back with more Modern Design 2 Design Dilemmas. Let's take a look at the weather and see what the National Weather Service is forecasting for us. Okay, if I look this afternoon, it looks like there's going to be a 50% chance of thunderstorms with a high of 82 degrees. Tonight, there's scattered thunderstorms, about 30% chance, and partly cloudy with a low of 61 degrees. On Thursday, it looks like tomorrow we're going to have a beautiful sunny day with a high of 83 degrees. Thursday night will be clear with a low of 57. And on Friday, mostly sunny with a high of 82 degrees. So it looks like after today, we should have a run of a couple of nice days. And if you're off this week, hopefully there'll be good beach days for you, or at least days out. Again, if you're just tuning in to Modern Design 2, Design Dilemmas, this is all about being interactive. What I do is all week I take your questions from social media, from Facebook, from Twitter, from all forms of social media. I also take texts, emails, and of course we have our open phone lines here. And then I read them on the air. This is your input to us of what you're working on, and maybe by your individual questions, we can help other listeners out there with their homes, and maybe that we're all working on similar things. Okay, it is now 2:35. We're on the air until 2:58. The phone lines are open. If you'd like to give me a call here live, it's 908-237-0410, 908-237-0410. If you'd like to text me, I have a bunch of texts here to read, but if you'd like to text me, the text number is 908-884-0770, 908-884-0770. And then if you'd like to email me, it's CajunMaven, CajunMavin at AOL.com. Okay, the next, the correspondence I got was from Joan B. in Bridgewater, New Jersey. And this was an email she sent to me. And it says, I want to turn my daughter's room into a TV room. Can you advise me how to look less like a bedroom? Okay, I've done that a lot. I know people, as your house transitions and kids move out and get married and do all that stuff, sometimes it's nice if you have a lot of empty bedrooms to make them usable rooms, whether it be a sewing room, a game room, an upstairs library, or a TV room. And one of the things that really helps is if you currently have wall-to-wall carpeting upstairs, take the carpeting out of that room. I know that sounds strange, but it really does make a difference. For the most part, I like continuity in a house, but if you're going to create a room that's of a specific purpose that's not a bedroom, and you want to give it an identity, removing the carpet from that room, if there's wall-to-wall carpeting, is terrific. In that case, I would suggest that you put some sort of, if there's a hardwood floor, expose the hardwood floor, or if there isn't, then maybe you want to put down a hardwood floor in that one space, or some sort of a laminate floor in there. And then I would remove all the furniture, anything that's representative bedroom, get out. And then we want to paint it a darker color. You know, there is research that says that television viewing and film viewing is better in darker colors. So we want to take it to a little bit of a darker shade, which might be a nice thing to do. And then we want to go ahead and furnish that room as a TV room, as a family room. And that may be two couches or a couch, a love seat, and a chair, but a real comfortable seating area. And then we want to ground that with an area rug so there is sound absorption. But we really want to make it look like a den or a TV room. Darker, hardwood floors, closed in, and cozy, and make it really look as if it was always intended to be an upstairs television room. So those are some of the things that you can do, visual cues. You might even want to do some sort of a blind. If there's draperies, take the draperies down and do some sort of a blind that has a backing on it, so you have good reception of the television, good vision of the television. And I think you'll be well on your way. So Joan, I hope that works out for you. My next question comes to me from Karen F., and she's in Linden, New Jersey. And she said, is it okay to still use silk flowers in a home? I have them on my dining room table. They match the colors of my room. I still like them. Are they okay? Well, there is, you know, some debate about silk flowers being very dated looking, but it really depends on the quality of the silk flowers. I mean, there was a time where they had shiny plastic silk flowers, and those look terrible. But more modern day flowers now are pretty realistic, and if it makes you feel good and it still looks good, there's not a picture attached to this, so I can't tell what it looks like. Go ahead and do it. Some of the other options that you might want to do is for a dining room table, if you don't want to do silk flowers, is you could, you know, get just a glass vase and just, you know, go to the supermarket and every once in a while throw in some fresh flowers and change them out. They don't have to be expensive. They can be one of those bouquets that are like $7, $6 or so on, and have some fresh flowers on the table, especially when you entertain. That looks nice. Sometimes a low light plant might look nice in a nice bowl there. Candles do a lot for the center of a table. You can change that out. A beautiful bowl is nice with other things in it, some decorative spheres or orbs, things of that nature. People want to say, what are spheres and orbs? Decorative items that can go in the center of the table. And you can change out your table all the time. But if you're comfortable with your silks and they're of high quality and they're not too shiny, then go ahead and enjoy them. Okay, my next question comes to me. Let's see. This looks like it's from Ben, and the last initial is K, and he's in Bridgewater, New Jersey. And he asked me, should I make my upstairs bedroom carpet match the color of the walls? The answer to that is absolutely not. And that is not to say make them not be the match, make them clash, but that is in most cases when it comes to carpet. Well, here's my thought on carpet. I like hardwood floors throughout a house. I think it's clean. I think it's easier to take care of. Then put area rugs in the rooms. You can take them out. You have them cleaned. And I think that's the safest, best way, best for resale, the cleanest way to go. And that's what I would do. Some people really want or have already inherited wall-to-wall carpeting on the second floor. And that's, in that case, I say, okay, that works. But if you have to replace your wall-to-wall carpeting and you don't have hardwood floors underneath and you can't afford them and you need to do carpet, I would make sure that the carpet is all one color, a neutral color, and the same throughout the space. Do not, you can have a blue room, a red room, a pink room, a white room, and a green room upstairs because they're all separated by white doors and walls, and that's perfectly fine. But you don't want when all the doors are open, you don't want a kaleidoscope of flooring. That always looks terrible. So you want to have the continuity in the flooring. So I say pick a nice neutral tan, gray, or beige, and have that carry throughout the bedrooms, low pile, and you'll be in good shape that way. Do not make it match the color of the walls, because often we change the paint in the room, and then you have to get new carpeting. And it just looks better if there's continuity in a house. So I would say, Ben, don't do that. Go ahead, and if you're going to do carpet, certainly get one carpet. Pick a neutral shade, not too light, especially for bedrooms, and a neutral color throughout, and then just do whatever wall color you like. Don't forget, there's a buffer between the color of the carpet and the sheetrock, because you have baseboard molding, which is going to be painted out white, nice and neutral. So you can do any color you want on the walls, and it will work well with a neutral palette on your floor. Okay, my next question comes to me from Kristen M., and she's in Far Hills, New Jersey. And she said, what should I do to cover my sliding glass doors? I don't like vertical blinds, and nothing else seems to work correct. I get this question a lot, and people are very perplexed on what to do with sliding glass doors. They're certainly a necessary evil. The newer ones that have that French look to them are very nice. But often covering them happens to be a problem. There's a product out there, and you can Google it, called Luminettes, that I like a lot. And that's almost has like a thin sheer look, and it has sort of a web construction in underneath it, which would allow you to keep the window closed and somewhat private, but light filters through. And then that can easily open and get you in and out, and it is the best solution. It is not inexpensive. It's pretty expensive, but Google that. There are different manufacturers that have knockoffs of it, but Google Luminette and see what you come up with. I think that's the best solution. In previous years, people used vertical blinds that are just a nightmare. They always come off the tracks. They're unattractive. They're very dated looking and cumbersome. And then I've seen people use shears, which I also think are very dated. People sometimes, if they don't get a lot of activity in and out, they can dress sliding glass doors more as a window, and that will work as well. You can put a hardware on it and panel drapes, and you can certainly, when you need to go in and out, do that. That's another option for you. But for the most part, give Luminettes a try. Take a look at them and see how you make out with that. I really think that's the only solution that I've done that I've been really happy with when it comes to sliders is, going with the Luminettes. So I wish you luck with that, Kristen. And my next question was an email, and that was from Barbara G., and she's right here in Flemington, New Jersey. And she asks me, do you prefer lamplight or recessed light to light a living room area? Very good question. This doesn't come up very often, so I think that's very insightful. And it sounds like you have a more traditional home by what you're saying. Here's something I feel about lighting. Lighting is very critical in a house, because a house could be beautiful, but if you can't see it, how beautiful is it? That being said, I do like recessed lights in public areas, such as your foyer and your kitchen and family room. There's tasks there where you need brighter lighting, and what's nice about recessed lights, it doesn't bring the height of the room down, so I do like them there. The exception with that is I don't like them in living room and dining room, and I don't like them in bedrooms. I like softer light in those rooms. They're not as task-oriented, and you don't need the same amount of light. So for me, I don't often put recessed lights in a living room and dining room. I like to use lamplight in those areas. So that was a very good and insightful question. It doesn't mean that you can't, but I would prefer that you don't, that you use more of an ambient light, and that will work out well. Okay, we are at 2:45. We need to take some commercial breaks, and we will be back with more of Modern Design.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technologies to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Hunterdon Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
And we are back with Modern Design 2 Design Dilemmas. Design Dilemmas is a show that we came up with just several weeks ago, and we're in our infancy of it, and trying to grow our interactive community. We certainly are getting a lot of response through social media and through texts and emails, and we do get tend to get the live call. Most of the listeners on our show listen actually to the podcast, which come out after the fact, but we do have live listeners as well, so I encourage you to give us a call. Our phone number here live in studio, we have about 10 minutes left, is 908-237-0410, 908-237-0410. You can also reach me by text at 908-884-0770 or by email at CajunMaven, CajunMavin, at AOL.com. A little bit about me again, Richard Scuderi. I'm a certified interior designer. Been in the industry for 18 years. My dad built custom homes. I started to work with him early on in my career, and always was excited about when a house was first framed and what you could do and what the possibilities are and moving things around and making things better. And that sort of followed me through my life. I've worked on many different projects, built four homes myself from scratch. Also work in the public venue. I've done restaurants. I've done shops and stores. I built a spa in Bernardsville, New Jersey, and a lot of commercial projects, a lot of doctor's offices, waiting rooms, corporations, their receptionaires, things of that nature. So if you'd like more information on Maven Hill Designs, feel free to give me a call. The number there is 908-832-7050, 908-832-7050. Okay, I'm going to read the next question, and this comes from Robert W., and he's in Reddington, New Jersey. And he says, I'm about to repaint my entire home. I find it overwhelming. What should I do about the colors? Are there any popular interior colors right now? Well, very good question. And one of the things that I might, I don't want to be too usurious, but one of the things that you might want to consider doing before you take on a whole house is maybe get an interior designer involved. It's probably a lot less expensive than you think. I know I do a standard color consultation for a home for a flat fee of $199, and for $199, I'll come to your house with chips that are almost a foot by a foot and put them up on the wall in each room and coordinate the colors of each room for you. I must do 2 to 3 of them a day every day, so I do a lot of color combinations. I also have Maven Hill painting, so we certainly can give you quotes on paint. But the bigger part of it is, it looks like you're painting yourself, and that's great, is getting the colors right. Because the worst thing you want to do is go out and buy a $50 can of paint and then get it done and be unhappy with the results. I can give you some general tips, which I do pretty much every week on painting. One is make sure you paint your trim out in white. If you want off-white, that's okay, but I recommend white, and make sure it's semi-gloss. Paint out your walls in a Regal matte, a matte finish that's flat and washable, and paint out your ceilings in a ceiling formulated white paint, and you'll be in good shape. Prep is as important, if not more important, than painting, so make sure that you do that, that you prep the walls first of any spots and sand well so that your finished result is going to be good. When it comes to the colors, you certainly could give interior designer a call and see what they charge. I'd be glad to come out and do that for you. But go to your local Sherwin-Williams or Benjamin Moore store and start taking a look at some colors and put them up on the walls. You know, color is the absorption of light. So color is going to look different in my radio studio here than it is going to look in my home, and then different than it's going to look in your home. So it's very important that you you do that as well. So I would start at a paint gallery if you want to go that route and pick some sample colors you like, and then tape each one to the walls and leave it there. Don't just put it up and take it down. See how it looks in the nighttime, in the daytime, when it's raining, when it's sunny. See if you like the color that you're going to have. Make sure you get a nice size chip if you can, and put them up on the walls and see if they work well together. Now, each room should be a different color. Rooms shouldn't be all the same color. The trim should be all the same color, and the ceiling should be all the same color. But the walls should be a different colors, but they should relate to each other. And there's ways of figuring that out, of what looks good visually to the eye going from room to room. You could have a tan room next to a green room next to a brown room, and somehow they all work because the tonal values work. So start with that. And then once you get beyond paint samples, with the little chips, you might want to go out and get, I know that Benjamin Moore has pints of paint where you go ahead and you can paint a little square on the walls that's to your liking, to your size, so you're pretty sure before you go ahead and make the investment on paint. So those are some things that you can do to get the paint colors right. In general, I don't want to give you specifics, but because I use more than one brand, I do use Benjamin Moore quite a bit, but I also use Sherwin-Williams, and I have used Ralph Lauren paints as well. Ralph Lauren has some actually nice colors, but grays are very popular right now, so I would say gray tones are something that you might want to try. Blues are very popular, both blue grays and dark blues, navy blues are terrific. I do lots of tans, lots of beiges, lots of taupes, lots of light browns, lots of tans, lots of neutral colors, lots of greens also. Greens are great. Olivey greens, light greens, sage greens, a lot of greens are popular. So I would say for the most part, if you have a big house and a lot of rooms to do, if you stick in the neutral greens, some tans, some taupes, and some grays, you'll be in good shape. You know, all those are relatively neutral, but they're all attractive and different from each other. So start with that as a base. And then if you want to give me a call at Maven Hill at 908-832-7050, we'd be glad to come out and help you with your color consultation. Okay, the next question I have comes to me also from Flemington, and her name is Amy T. And she says she's redoing her son's room. He's 4. and looking to make it into a more grown-up room. Boy, do I get this question a lot. And not sure what to do in a son's room. And I wonder why that is. I think maybe a girl's room, you have a preconceived notion of girly pink or what have you, and a chandelier, and I think maybe mothers are more into that. But when it comes to the boys, I get the boy room question all the time, I guess, when they're a little bit younger and not able to verbalize maybe what they want. So let me tell you what I've done in younger toddlers' rooms transition. I talked about this, I think, last week, is that I recently did a room in gray and orange, and it was spectacular. I used the Princeton Tigers theme, if you will, the orange tiger, and I did pillows that were white with a little orange around them. I painted the walls. I did a wainscoting that went 3/4 way up the wall with an art rail on it. Then we did the gray walls, which looked really beautiful. It was called Stonington Gray. It's a Benjamin Moore color and regal matte finish. It had dark hardwood floors. We did a small area rug. And in a toddler's room, I've been using area rugs that are actually indoor-outdoor rugs. So you can basically take them outside and hose them down and bring them back, and they're in good shape, but they don't look it. They really look like a regular fiber. They don't really look like they're indoor-outdoor rugs. But then I did beautiful, simple furniture. I did white and orange and gray bedding with terrific pillows, and the colors were terrific together. They were really flawless. Some of the other color combinations I've also used in a boy's room is navy blue and orange, which probably sounds odd, but it really looks really, really nice. Again, we did a high wainscoting. And one of the reasons we do high wainscotings in children's rooms is we paint them out in semi-gloss paint, so they're very easy to clean, and we don't have issues with having to repaint the wall. So taking it up 3/4 of the way when you have a toddler is pretty good, because it's easy to clean and take care of, and then you put the color up above. So we did navy blue above, and it wasn't too dark because most of it is white, of course. And then we did blue and orange combination on the bedding, and it really, really looked very nice. Another combination that I've done is blue and green. I like to do navy blue or French blue and citrus green, like a lime green in a boy's room. That's a great color combination as well. Keep it very traditional. You can add sports themes. Teams are kind of nice to do if they have any special things. And also with the animals, of stuffed animals and toys, if you have that art reel, you can put things on the art reel so they're not all over the floor, and it really keeps the clutter down in a toddler's room. I'm a big fan of a toy box. If you have an area where you could build something in, and then we get into the habit of putting toys away, and we can incorporate that into the color of the trim and the molding, that's always a great thing to do. Maybe have like a window seat with a toy box underneath, and we know to put the toys away at the end of the day with a pad on top. That's kind of a nice habit to get into with young children. Something very good to do as well. All right, well, it looks like we're almost at 2:58, and today has gone very fast, as it usually has. And I do ask to keep sending me your social media, your questions. I really enjoy going through them. Please incorporate pictures, as many of you do, because I get to learn. I do print them. I save everything, and then I bring them to studio on Wednesday, and I get to read them on air. And not only do I hopefully give you some good advice, but I learn from it. I see what people are asking me for, and I make sure that I'm equipped. So it helps me, I think, as much as it helps you guys. Thank you for supporting me on Modern Design 2. And I will see you next week on Modern Design 1 at 10 and Modern Design 2 Design Dilemmas at 2 o'clock. I wish you all a good week. We have next couple of days are going to be nice weather, so go out and enjoy yourself. And until I see you next week, enjoy and have a very good week, everybody. Thanks.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. Israel's prime minister is telling his parliament that they aren't bound by the nuclear deal involving Iran and the United States, and that Israel will continue to oppose it.
The international community is removing the sanctions, and Iran is keeping its nuclear program.
Meanwhile, a senior leader from Yemen's Shiite rebels has sent a cable to Iran praising the deal as a historic achievement. And members of Congress are speaking out against the deal.
Over the next 60 days, we're going to go through this in great detail. We're going to have a thoughtful and deliberate process. My guess is, based on timing, we'll have hearings that will be in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
That was Tennessee Senator Bob Corker, who is also on the Foreign Relations Committee. And some Democrats are skeptical. Vice President Joe Biden met on Capitol Hill with House Democrats this morning to brief them. This is USA Headline News.
Ovation Cell Therapy is the best treatment for dry, brittle, damaged hair caused by harsh chemicals, heat styling, and age-related issues. With extra conditioners, proteins, amino acids, vitamins, and extracts, all the essential nutrients your hair needs to reduce breakage and increase length retention. Cell Therapy by Ovation is proven to substantially reduce breakage, helping restore your natural beauty and shine.
And in a recent customer survey, over 90% of respondents would recommend Ovation hair care products to a friend. They wouldn't do that unless Ovation really worked. And it does. Guaranteed.
I always recommend Ovation to my friends and coworkers. My hair is so much healthier since I started using it. I won't ever stop. Thanks, Ovation.
To prove it, Ovation will pay your shipping cost. Free shipping is for July orders only. So hurry and stock up now.
Visit OvationHair.com today and don't miss July free shipping. Remember to select this station at checkout for your special introductory discount. Plus, July free shipping. OvationHair.com.
More than half of the Central Committee of Greece's governing left-wing party has signed a statement slamming the agreement Greece reached with its European creditors. Greece's parliament is expected to vote later today on the austerity bill required to get a new bailout package. Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras says he doesn't like the agreement, but other options were unpleasant.
Within circumstances of blackmail and suffocation, we had two alternatives on the table. First, the agreement with specific prerequisites, or go bankrupt. That is...